VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us here on Crosstalk today on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a time of year when there is heightened awareness, interest, and observance of witchcraft and the occult. But understand this is not limited to this time of year that just surrounds Halloween, as it's actually practiced year-round. But look at the yards in your neighborhood, adorned with witches, vampires, death, and the occult. Look what's being featured in stores and special shops that are springing up. Look what's being featured on television, cable, and the specialty channels. I mean, Legacies, Charmed, Motherland, Fort Salem, WandaVision, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, even the Hallmark Channel with Good Witch. It's all over. There's vampire TV series, First Kill and Dracula, What We Do in the Shadows. AMC is holding Fear Fest. It is everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest today will be unmasking the truth about witches, their deceptive schemes, their old tricks, and yes, their dirty lies. With us today, we welcome back to Crosstalk Dr. David Brown, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Oak Creek, Wisconsin. He has a master's in theology, a PhD in history, specializing in the history of the English Bible. In addition to his study of the English Bible, he's president of Logos Communication Consortium that operates logosresourcepages.org. He's author of the book, The Dark Side of Halloween, also a research paper on masking the truth about witches. He also has been a resource and a consultant used by law enforcement on issues pertaining to Satanism and the occult. Pastor Brown, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Jim. I just want to tell you, this is a time of year where I'm very concerned and pray a whole lot, because there's many people who get their introduction to the occult or have an excuse to practice it and try and get others involved.
You know, I put the word witches in an internet search engine just before you came to the studio today. It took a second and a quarter to report 5,290,000,000 results. That was more than five times the results for witches than when I put in the name of Jesus.
Ah, yes.
The other thing, a witchcraft, over 63 million results. Wicca, 41,400,000 in less than a second. I put in vampires, 460 million results. Zombies, 585 million results. To say that our society is inundated with witches, witchcraft, or the occult, that would be an understatement.
Well, that's for sure. And you'll notice that most all these are focused on death. And as Proverbs 8:36 says, all that hate me, the Lord says, love death. There's so much death and focus on evil in these particular religions, Jim.
There will be people who say, you know, I'm not a witch, I'm a Wiccan, and please refer to me as a Wiccan. Is there a difference? Why is this?
Well, historically, the term witches and Wiccans came from way back in 890 AD. The word Wiccan really just stood for wickedness. This is in the laws of King Alfred, and so Wiccan literally means witch-like, Jim, and so they don't like the term witch, so they call themselves Wiccan.
Some have claimed, though, that Wicca is the oldest religion in the world, is it?
No. However, you can go back, and the Bible talks about people who practiced witchcraft numerous times, but you can... Well, Wiccan, 1950 is, well, really about when Wiccan religion as we know it today started. The cult of Wicca was invented very clearly. We read about it in a book that Kelly says that it was authored by somebody called Gerald Gardner. He was the inventor of the cult of Wicca, And very much of the evidence suggested that really this man concocted the rituals, the legends from his fertile imagination that he promoted. And it was also tainted very heavily with sexual immorality. And if anybody says that Wicca has roots before 1950. That's very, very, very suspect, Jim.
Also, there are those who say, you know, this is, you know, innocent. This has nothing to do with Satanism. Is there any connection between Wiccan, witchcraft, or Satanism? Or are these two totally separate things?
Well, have you heard of the phrase semantic word games?
Mm-hmm.
That means playing with words. And basically, Wiccans, they acknowledge Lucifer, okay? And they claim that he is the god of the sun and the moon. And in one of their you know, publications, I just don't want to give the names of the publications, but in one of their publications, they make it very, very clear that Wiccans do believe in, quote, Diana greatly loved her brother Lucifer, the god of the sun and the moon, the god of light, who was so proud of his beauty, go back to Isaiah, if you would, and who, because of his pride, was driven from paradise. You know what that is? That's Lucifer,
Satan.
Which is Satan,
yep.
The old dragon, right there. Isaiah, you know, Isaiah chapter 14, Lucifer in the King James Version of the Bible is none other than Satan, the old dragon, the devil. And even in another book, it says this is the beginning of the practical guide of witchcraft and the practice of black arts. And he says that you just recite the Lord's Prayer backwards and you can get in contact with Satanists. Oh, guess who that is?
Interesting. Some witches will also declare that the upside-down pentagram is satanic, has nothing to do with Wiccan or witchcraft. Are they correct?
Oh, really, Jim? Nothing could be further from the truth because it's well documented in the original witchcraft groups, Gardnerian witchcraft and Alexandrian a Wiccan cult. They use the upside-down pentagram as the symbol of second-degree Wiccan initiation, Jim, and I have that well documented in my report. It's listed right there where that came from. That's not the idea of some fundamentalist. Mm-hmm. That's what they say in their own book.
Okay, so we often have those who will claim, I do good magic, white magic, I don't do black magic. Are there good witches versus bad witches? Is there good magic versus bad magic, white magic versus black magic?
Well, biblically, any idolatry, and that's what witchcraft is idolatry, the goddess of 10,000 names they worship, but they claim, a lot of them say, well, the Wiccan Reed says, and harm none, do as thou wilt. I happen to have known a witch, and her name was Sybil Leek, and she published a book of curses, and cursing and vengeance, they are a part of witchcraft. I remember when I went out and lectured at Salem, Massachusetts some years ago, and that's a haven for witchcraft. They have a publicly proclaimed witch there, and it's a huge holiday for witches who come all over the world, and they were doing curses, and they were doing spells, and so I just am not buying that, Jim, because maybe some witches do good spells, but still they're using sorcery and magic, spiritism or necromancy. And that's against what the Word of God says, Jim. So, no, they only do good magic, healing magic? No, that isn't true, according to their own publications, Jim.
So, okay, is Wicca a religion? Would you consider it a religion?
Yeah, it, very much. It's an idolatrous religion mm-hmm. because they worship the goddess of 10,000 names. They worship Mother Earth, they worship the horned god. I mean, I have a whole, I didn't bring it, but I have a whole booklet of the different gods and goddesses that they worship and the cult altars that I've seen, and many of them are being established right now. A lot of them offer food offerings at this time of sowing because it's their new year. But they'll have Buddha, they'll have Diana, they'll have Jesus Christ, they'll have a variety of other gods and goddesses of many different religions. The world religions, the symbols, they'll have those symbols because they believe that God is everything.
I also see on a publication you made some years ago a picture of the witch's wheel, and there is actually a year-round virtual calendar that is there of...
Oh, yes. There's a calendar of the days that are going on, and some of the common ones. There's so many more, but the common ones are very clearly... there's two great fire festivals. There's one called Beltane or May Eve, and that's where they dance around the maypole and all that sort of things. The maypole, let me see, how can I put this? It's a phallic symbol. We'll just call it a phallic symbol. And then there's Samhain right now, which is morphed into Halloween, but there is also Yule. There's Yule, there's Imbolc, there is autumn and midsummer. I mean, yes, there's tons of different holidays the same way that we celebrate a number of different holidays. And they also are real big into celebrating immorally.
We also have seen, even in recent newscasts, about Wiccan in the military, and certainly troubling. There have been Wiccan chaplains.
Oh, well, when I was, for 5 years, I served as a chaplain, and right in the chaplain's manual, you have the Wiccan holidays and how you're supposed to do Wiccan things. I would never do any of those things. But right now, there's 50 Wiccan events scheduled all around the United States military now, this year, Jim, this year. And so, yes, it was in the military. It's in the military chaplain's manual. Prisons, it's big. Nobody can see this, but this is a Grim Reaper book by a cultist that came out of the prison system. And he's writing down all of his things. Some of it's in things that you can read, but he's writing down his spells, and he's talking about the pentagram, and he's talking about all those things, Jim. And so it's very, very real in the prison system. It's actually, there's documented evidence that Hillary Clinton, while she was back there, would regularly a couple times a year go and celebrate with a coven in California. If you can read about all of the things that are going on in Washington, D.C., some of the previous administration people were involved in occultic suppers and occultic activities. So it is far and wide, Jim.
Yeah, very prolific in our society. Pastor David Brown with us here today. We're talking about witchcraft and the occult, and really a warning today here on Crosstalk. We'll even be talking about how this is infiltrated into Christian circles as well, and certainly some warnings as it relates to what Scripture has to say on these very issues. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has the Bible been confirmed by archaeological discoveries?
In many ways, it has, Chris. Many ancient artifacts have been found, and in each case, they confirm the general framework given in Scripture. The Bible claims to be a book of true history, and we would expect to find historical evidence and general agreement with it. But we wouldn't expect everything to be found. Much of the Bible took place long ago, and documents would be rare. But with many turns of the archaeologist's spade, we find details that support Scripture. Yes, we can be confident that the Bible is literally true, and even better than that, it's spiritually true. The evidence we find in history enhances our confidence in its spiritual claims. It all started back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
witchcraft and the occult. Friends, it's all proliferated throughout our society here today. We're addressing it on Crosstalk, really a warning regarding these very aspects. Let's get into this aspect of blood offerings, animal sacrifice, maybe even human sacrifice. Do witches believe in these things?
Yes, let's go back historically a little bit. The Incas were involved in human sacrifice. A number of the South American Indians, they were involved in human sacrifice as well. So it isn't anything that's unusual. Archaeologists are digging and finding these things all the time. But to make things powerful, they often use blood. Now, nobody can see this, but True Blood, and it's a magazine about occultists who use blood to get power. I was on a national television program with witches, and I sat next to, on one side was a witch that worshipped Dagon, and on the other side was a vampire, and I asked her, do you really do blood things? And she said, oh, yes, I use the blood of my donors. It really gives me power. And I can tell you it's very real. I got a call from a Bible college a number of years ago, and they caught a young man cutting himself and drinking his own blood in a Christian college, so they sent him to me. He got involved in these blood rituals by playing Dungeons and Dragons with a guy from his Christian school, Jim. And so witches are oftentimes very much into blood because blood gives power. Blood gives their magic wand power, if you would. Very often, they're in some branches of the witchcraft, they're initiated into witchcraft by using blood rituals. I'll never forget two big offering sites that I was called to evaluate. One was in Marinette County, so I drove up to Marinette County, and the police had found this big, huge ritual site where a bull had been sacrificed, and the head was there, and it was a blood ritual, blood sacrifice, and then we stopped one in Washington County. A farmer called me. We went to investigate, and there was a huge altar with a saw, with a knife and stuff there. Mm. Police staked it out, and so they stopped some kind of a sacrifice, either animal or human. I'll never forget investigating a site in Oak Creek where there was an animal sacrifice made in what was the leftovers, but this person sacrificed it because he was going to Bangkok. He wanted power because he was going to Bangkok for a vacation of sex and sin.
Wow.
And so I know that it's very real, Jim. I have investigated them over the years. I have police files, old police files where there have been. I never forget the sacrifices at Matamoros, Mexico, and yes, Jim, it's very real.
You know, you mentioned Dungeons and Dragons just a bit ago, and let's just give a moment's warning as well, because not only this game, but there's a lot of things that are going online where players are interjecting themselves into these role-playing scenarios and fantasy-related games, but so much of this built upon the occult itself.
Yes, it's built upon the occult. They moved away from the actual card games and board games, but now be careful what games your kids are playing on their phones and on their computers, because now very graphic stuff, very occultic stuff, they can play with 5, 6, or 7 of their friends online, each taking turn playing the game, and divination, fortune-telling, sorcery, magic, spiritism, necromancy, death, sacrifice, all these things. And the graphics are so real these days, Jim, that it deadens the senses. It messes up the discernment of what's good and what's evil. It's very dangerous.
Well, I'd like to kind of broaden this a bit as well, because many today are saying, I would never be involved in these things that you're talking about, the death, the gore, and all these things. But yet you call one of the biggest occult practices being promoted today is something called mindfulness. Tell us about it.
Oh, my, Jim. This is horrendous. It's the biggest occult practice today, mindfulness is all the rage in the education field, in the healthcare field. I could literally name school systems where this is being practiced, and unfortunately, most American parents are completely ignorant of this. Critical race theory has come to the forefront, and where there's a problem with that, because if you're not of some color, then you're a racist. But this mindfulness is really a Buddhist religion. It's really demonic. It's very dangerous. Mindfulness is a religion. The term comes from Pale language, and it is the seventh aspect of Eightfold Path of Enlightenment in Buddhism. Let me just read the Path of Enlightenment for you, the Buddhist Enlightenment. I'm not going to use their terms, but right insight, right resolve, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, and number seven, right mindfulness. Here's the deal. The mindfulness has its roots in Buddhism, and it's Zen, it's yoga, it's Tibetan meditation, and there's a difference between biblical meditation, where you fill your mind with the things of the Lord and think about how they apply to you. But when you're talking about mindfulness now, it leaves God completely out.
Emptying the mind.
It's emptying the mind. When you practice mindfulness, you don't need God, but you do everything by yourself, applying carnal knowledge, carnal methods, and these techniques are derived from Buddhism, because mindfulness is derived from Buddhism. It leads to nirvana or enlightenment. But what nirvana is, you got to understand what nirvana is. Nirvana is stopping reincarnation by being completely mindless or completely empty-minded. I want to tell you that the idle mind is the devil's workshop. We're told very clearly in the scripture to meditate on these things. The danger of mindfulness is that as you focus on the awareness of your body and your soul, you kind of become disconnected, and then guess what? The demons come in, and you give yourself over to them. But according to Buddhism, everything is, you know, the power is unleashed in your flesh. Hmm. Boy, I don't need my flesh any stronger than it already is.
Yeah.
This power, this feeling experience is really demonic, Jim.
It is demonic, and it's all connected. I mean, we talked about witches, vampires. There's that commonality that is there. As a matter of fact, when we go to the Romans chapter 1, we often approach it from the downward slide into immorality. But when you've looked at Romans 1 as well, you see the transformation of Christianity to paganism.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly what's happening. They turn from God, as Paul put it, to idols.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what's going on. And that's what mindfulness is teaching Buddhism. But it's that semantic word game.
Yeah,
it's mindfulness. It's not yoga. It's not the meditation techniques of Tibet, but it really is.
Yeah. And as we're told in the Old Testament, that this whole aspect of rebellion, this idolatry, it's just like witchcraft, is it not?
Yes, it is. Mm. Yes, it is. And essentially, mindfulness becomes a substitute for Christianity and the very opposite of Christian beliefs. We should have biblical meditation, biblical prayer. But in the occult, it's so much similar to mindfulness. You sit in a comfortable position in the occult. You focus on memory, thoughts, and objects that are soothing, and then you try and slow down your breath rate. You know, you start to slow breathe. You relax your muscles. You continue focusing on soothing objects or memories, and then you wait. You're trying to let it go empty. And find the path of self-realization. Hmm. Oh, Jim, that's the occult.
Yeah.
The occult.
Yeah. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Certainly is that is filling our mind with scriptures and truths about his word as well. We've talked about all that's going on in society today, and really there's an attempt to normalize witchcraft. But I know you are greatly concerned by how children are being lured into this whole aspect of witchcraft, the occult, whether it be through board games, online things, just the things they find in libraries, etc.
Well, and that is coming from all angles, and more parents are letting younger children have cell phones, and they get connected with the wrong group. They get involved in the wrong game, and you have adults out there who are trying to defile children, Jim, and draw them into the occult or draw them into pornography or draw them into some relationship, and we just have to be so careful. Parents need to know who their kids are playing with. They need to know what their kids are looking at on the internet, and they need, if they for some reason have to keep their kids in public school, they need to be very actively involved in knowing what their children are being taught, going to parent-teacher meetings, showing up at the PTA meetings, going to the school board meetings, Jim, because if you can get them young, and that's what's going on with this mindfulness. Mm-hmm. Probably parents don't realize, you know, they might be even going to good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches, but they are being taught the principles of Buddhism, Jim. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very interesting. You mentioned the parent-teacher conferences and so forth. Recently, I was in a public elevator, and I was riding the elevator, and two school teachers had walked in. They were in the midst of their conversation, talking about how they despise these in-person parent-teacher conferences. You know, we have email. They can communicate that way. But why do we have to, you know, have that face-to-face meeting with them? And I've found that very interesting.
Yeah, they don't want accountability, Jim. Yeah, they just don't want accountability at all. And then there's all kinds of games that you can buy. I urge people to be careful as they purchase stuff for their children at Christmas time. I mean, we could go into it. Trolls are coming back, and trolls are nothing more but earth spirits. They're earth spirits, air spirits, fire spirits, water spirits, and a lot of the toys are focused around that. I got this. It says angel power, and here it is. It looks really cute, doesn't it, Jim?
Mm-hmm.
You can see
this.
It says these cards are messengers for cosmic energy, which gives us life, inspiration, and spiritual nourishment is to assist us. But it looks like it's something for kids. But really what they are is nothing but tarot cards, rewrapped and called angel cards, Jim. And so there's a lot of toys that you buy. For instance, I do not care for the Masters of the Universe, all those toys that are there and the Marvel comic characters that they're making, because where are they getting their power?
Yeah.
Their power is not from God, and it's very, very worrying to me.
And look how sexualizing they're doing in these comics as well, the Marvels, and turning Superman and
Robin. Yeah, Superman's now got a homosexual relationship in the newest Marvel comic book.
The Boy Wonder as well, and on and on it goes. Some more discussion after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For over 200 years, the American judicial system has upheld a standard so strong that a person's very life can be ended based on this level of confidence. It is a verdict supported by evidence that is beyond a reasonable doubt. Did you know there is evidence demonstrated beyond a reasonable doubt that we have a creator? Most are unaware because it has been censored from textbooks, but now you can have this information at your fingertips. In the beautifully illustrated hardcover book, Have You Considered? Evidence Beyond a Reasonable Doubt, Bruce Malone and Julie Von Vett provide a series of unique devotions presenting evidence for every day of the year that points to the Creator. Evidence from biology, paleontology, botany, anatomy, and other scientific disciplines. Have You Considered? Is available for a donation of $16 or more from VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
Well, our programming today on Crosstalk is a warning regarding the witchcraft, the occult, the subtle ways that it's impacting its way into our society, but also into Christian homes as well. And so we bring this warning to you here today. Pastor Brown, our guest here today, he's pastor of the First Baptist Church of Oak Creek, and I've got a couple more questions I'm going to run by him here, but he does have a number of research papers on the occult and on witchcraft, including one that we have referred to today, Unmasking the Truth About Witches, that he wrote some years ago. You'll find that, and the website is Logos Resource Pages, that's plural, .org, Logos, L-O-G-O-S, Resource Pages, .org. And you can find, click on articles, you'll find information there that will help you on these issues as well as like on Halloween and so forth as well. Pastor Brown, as we're talking about this, though, we see that there's a definite clash between wisdom that's from above, that of God, and that which is from beneath or below, that of Satan. Comment on the difference of what we get from God versus what we come from Satan.
Right. Jim, James 3:15-17, the wisdom that descendeth not from above, listen to this, is earthly, sensual, and devilish.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a second. It says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, that means easily persuaded to do right, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You see, very clearly, God's wisdom is found in the Bible. In fact, in Acts chapter 19, there was a cult goings on and demon possession, and many people turned to Christ, and they burned $500,000 worth of occultic books. Mm. And then it says the power of the Lord grew. But let me contrast the wisdom from above with the wisdom from beneath. Now, I am constantly wanting wisdom from God.
Yes.
So how do I get it? Well, James 1:5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him regularly in my prayer time. I'm asking God for wisdom and insight. And then Bible study and meditation. It says that you should meditate in the Bible day and night. And then there's wise counsel from godly friends. Mm. We should do that. But now, the wisdom from beneath, they look for it in a different way. They look for it in divination or fortune telling. Divination is the attempt to forecast the future or human character through occultic means. Some of the common ones are the Ouija board or tarot cards or astrology or crystals, you know, some of these type of things. And we read about that in Ezekiel chapter 21:21. The king of Babylon needed to know which way to go on the road. And so what he did is he slit open an animal and looked into a liver, and then he made his arrows bright. That's just talking about he picked out an arrow that was supposed to guide him one way or the other, and he consulted his images. So that's all divination. And then sorcery or magic. Sorcery is the old name. Magic is the new name. And that's an attempt to contact either spirits of animals, plants, elements, do rituals, all these type of things, wear amulets that are supposed to protect you. And yet, very clearly, this is told in Acts 13:6-10, that it shouldn't be done. And then finally, spiritism or necromancy, that is trying to contact dead people or dead spirits, spirits in the world. And Saul lost his kingdom because the prophet didn't come when he thought he ought to come, so you know what he did? He contacted the necromancer of Endor, the witch of Endor. And so God is very clear that if we want wisdom, we need to pray, we need to get into his word, we need to seek wise counsel from godly people. We're not to be involved in fortune-telling. We're not to get our fortunes told. We're not to be involved in in ritual magic, and we're not to be involved in trying to contact the spirit world, Jim, but that's all what's going on in the occult these days.
Pastor David Brown, our guest, we're going to open our phone lines. If you have a question as it pertains to witchcraft, the occult, wizardry, etc., it's a very broad topic here today, perhaps even that of Halloween. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Some, no doubt, Pastor, are listening right now. He said, you know, I watch some of these programs, and I listed some, and there's so many more. Some whole channels are devoted to this. But they say, I watch these solely for entertainment. I don't dabble in witchcraft. It's just taking a break from the stresses of the life I face. You know, it doesn't impact me. How do you respond?
As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, Philippians says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, mm-hmm. Jim. So you have to be cautious what you allow into your mind, because it does influence you.
Our number again, write it down. The lines are packed right now, but we'll take as many calls as we can. 800-733-9829. We're going to Kentucky. Robin, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to, thanks for taking my call. I'd like to ask a question about, give a comment. Basically, in the late 60s and the 70s, the Beatles were popular. And had a movement going on, Transcendental Meditation. And it was going on in the U.S. And about the time, what is it called, Mother Earth Movement. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. Thank
you. Transcendental meditation has moved into the mindfulness movement. That's exactly what transcendental meditation is. It's a cultic meditation. You try and get yourself into an altered state of conscience.
Same thing with a new wrapper.
Yes, exactly. It's candy coated. It's in a brand new wrapper. It's an old name in a brand new wrapper.
We have Warren calling from Watertown. You're on the air.
Yes, this is Warren calling. I just wanted to call in and put out a warning for your listeners. A few years ago, they picked up some witches in Jefferson that were sacrificing cats. Well, last year at this time, we lost two cats, especially after big black Maine Coon type of cats. Mm-hmm. Both the cats we lost were Maine Coons. I just wanted the listeners to be aware and keep their cats locked up this time of the year. God bless you guys.
Thank you, Warren. And he's not stretching the truth there.
No, he's not stretching the truth. I haven't gone into it. We haven't, but particularly around Samhain, which we call Halloween, dark-colored cats, I would be very cautious about. I've investigated cat sacrifices, Jim, because there still are there's a special significance in the sacrifice of a black cat. Lock up your cats. Don't let them out, particularly around this time of year.
James is calling from Tomah, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. In the 1970s, when I was in school, when I went from private school to public school, they were teaching us the things that you describe as transcendental meditation. And they taught us that in the Boys Club and in other community organizations that did kind of daycare and physical fitness training. But the biggest thing that's hooking people, that's been hooking people since that time, is the video games. Any video game you pick up these days has spells, magic, demonism, summoning this, summoning that, mm-hmm. wizardry, sorcery. Disney, people don't realize, was a practicing witch. And he popularized this with The Sorcerer's Apprentice, Mickey Mouse, The Escape to Witch Mountain, these kids that were born as witches. This has been with us for a long time, and mm-hmm. it's not a new thing, but...
Right.
It's been popularized more, Jim, by these days, Harry Potter, the Harry Potter books, the Harry Potter movies. It's gotten darker, and there's so many novels now for kids that... Very dark.
Vampires
and all this business of the walking dead, the undead, mm-hmm. The zombies.
Yep.
I was a missionary to Haiti, and I know about voodoo. I know about zombies. When I was out in the bush, I'd go to sleep every night listening to voodoo drums in the background and the screams of those who are practicing voodoo. So this is very real. It's popularized in the United States today.
James?
How do you educate kids on these real things like zombies, where they drug people to a near-death state and then pretend to bring them back? How do you teach kids this is a real thing? It's not just fake make-believe without upsetting the whole innocence of youth and the fearfulness that comes from such a terrible thing entering their impressionable mind.
Thank you, James. We'll have Pastor answer.
Yeah, well, I got that real simple. Number one, get them in a good, solid, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church.
Amen.
Have family devotions. What I used to do, my wife used to pick up our kids from school. She'd ask about what was going on at school, what they were talking about, and so on, the movies they were talking about. And then we would apply scriptural truth to it. The Bible says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. And so you can do that. And then I'm telling you, make sure that you don't let them watch certain things. Make sure you don't let them play these
Learn
kind
to
of
say
video
no.
games. Tell them to say no.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Thank you for the call here, James. And when you see your child that is involved in some of these games on their phone or whatever, don't say, take that out of the living room. Go in your bedroom and do that.
No.
That happens. And it should not, folks. The answer is no. You may not get involved with that. And here's why. I mean, hold up scripture. We've got to hold up the authority of God's word.
And you have to tell them why, not just because I said so. Right. Tell them why.
Bridgeport, West Virginia. Al, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for taking my call, brother. Appreciate it. The video games are a big deal. They desensitize children to violence, and they glorify violence, and it's just awful. But I will say this: there is only one race, the human race, and there's only one blood. That's Jesus' blood, and we got to believe in Him. And the blood that He shed for us is the most important blood that there ever will be, and there ever in history. So, the video games, the desensitizing of violence and glorifying, sin, that's what's going on, brother.
Yep.
And you know where we're at.
That's why we're exposing it here today, Al. Thank you so much for the call. We have Teresa in Elizabethtown. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just have a quick question. I am actually getting ready to start counseling, and I purposely searched for a Christian counselor. And well, as I was looking on their website, I noticed that they were talking about something called Enneagram, and that something just really didn't feel just right about that.
No, and matter of fact, just last week, we rebroadcast a full program on Enneagrams, and I'd like to encourage you to go to our website, crosstalkamerica.com. We just spent a full hour on that issue. It's a program of warning regarding that, and there's connection here to Don Vino from Wisconsin, from Midwest Christian Outreach that can give you much more info, but we're up against a break here, but go to crosstalkamerica.com. And we just posted last week a program on that issue. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk, taking more of your phone calls. Stay with us. We'll be right back on the topic, witchcraft and the occult, here on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. The Canadian government is reporting that many of the militaries of the westernized world, which includes the United States and NATO, just held a big conference. And you know what their topic was? Cognitive warfare. Developing tools to counter cognitive warfare. The military with NATO is working on trying to find ways to control how you think, what you believe, and your behavior. It almost sounds completely sci-fi, but indeed, they are trying to find ways to control what you think, and how you act. Now, they're doing all of this under the guise of national security, claiming that they're concerned about American citizens that are becoming tools of China and Russia. Well, if they're worried about that, they should look at their own governments and military. This is really nothing more than the battle for the mind using transhumanism.
By the way, let me give out the website again for our guest today, logosresourcepages.org, L-O-G-O-S, logosresourcepages.org. And you'll find under articles and research there, you'll find a lot of information here pertaining to the occult, to witchcraft, to Halloween, other topics as well. Let's get right back to the phone lines. To the state of Washington, we have Benjamin calling. Hi, Benjamin. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to ask a question about what do you think about churches that don't celebrate Halloween, but they do have a harvest activity, and they have a harvest activity and wear costumes. And thank you for all you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you for your call.
Well, I believe in the principle of replacement, to be sure, but that would be too close for my liking personally. We celebrate Reformation Day, October 31st. While I don't hold Reformation theology, I do thank the Lord for them because they reintroduced the Bible to our culture. So I just stay far away from anything that looks like Halloween.
Yeah, so you wouldn't mind the harvest gathering as such,
no,
but the dressing up and mimicking the Halloween aspect.
Right. Why mimic? I'd have a harvest celebration. I mean, I've got gourds and pumpkins and corn all on there, but no jack-o'-lanterns or any of that sort of things. We celebrate harvest. That's all right, but nothing close to Halloween.
Marie is calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. You're on the air.
Hello, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, the previous caller asked my same question. What about these Christian schools or churches that hold the harvest festivals? And I'm not sure whether they wear costumes or not. And the other thing I wanted to ask about was, you know, we used to, or my husband and I used to participate in Halloween. And as a matter of fact, we even have acquaintances who believed they were witches and such. Now, because we've been going to a Bible-believing church for a number of years now we've stayed away from all of that. And we don't even pass out candy for Halloween because my thinking is I don't really want to participate in any of it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But what about giving out? What about giving out Bible tracts or Bibles or that kind of thing?
Okay, thank you for the call.
Mm-hmm. I suppose that if you're just going to give out tracts or Bibles, I would leave a packet of the tract that I've written on the table, and I said we don't celebrate Halloween. If you want to know why, pick up this brochure. I didn't have people running to the door to pick them up, but I just want to stay as far away from Halloween as I possibly can, Jim, so each person has to be fully persuaded in their own minds.
A church that would have let's come gather here, let's show a Christian film or something of that nature.
In fact, we've done that. Let me get it straight. I don't have anything wrong with having a harvest dinner, a harvest celebration. But I'm going to stay far away from, you say, well, we're going to dress up in biblical costumes. Okay, how about Bar Jesus? Let's dress up as the Witch of... No. I'm not doing the costume thing. We'll have a harvest celebration, but no Halloween stuff.
Holly is calling from Venice, Florida. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for the call, and thank you for your program. I actually worked in the school system down there in Venice, Florida, years ago, and don't know if this relates to the occult, but these are like kindergartens, 5 years old and younger, and they actually had a woman come in. They showed a film. I can't remember all of it, but one thing that stuck in my mind was them having the kids sit there, and they had to close their eyes and picture themselves as a snake and uncoiling. And
yeah,
I just wanted your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you what that is. That's occult guided imagery. That's what that is. That's one of the means of the occult to put yourself in the place. And, that's the occult. That's the occult.
Thank you for the call here, and stay away. let's go to, Winfred, South Dakota, and Clint, you're on the air.
I got in late on the program, and I just was wondering a question about hypnosis. Is this on the same order? I'll let you answer that.
Thank you.
Sure. Hypnosis takes you into an altered state of consciousness. It bypasses your rational abilities, and Hypnosis is not of the Lord. God says I should not be brought under the power of any. So hypnotizing to most all the people who have had alien abduction things have been hypnotized multiple times. There's several states that won't even let a person be hypnotized and witness at the same time. The reason is because in hypnotism, a lot of times the people who use it go into what's called past life regression. And so hypnotism, no, we shouldn't be brought under the power of any.
LaTanya is calling from Waukesha. You're on the air, LaTanya.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just had a quick question. What is your take on Christian illusionists and how a lot of the churches do the trunk and trunk tree type of thing? A church that I attend does that, and I'm really concerned about that. It's like trying to put a Christian twist to Halloween, but in my heart, I'm like, you can't. How can you try, to do that? And so I would love to be able to hear your intake on that. Thank you.
Thank you, LaTanya.
Yeah, I'm not for trunk or treat, because if you look at the history of where trick-or-treat originated, it was taking offerings to their pagan and false gods. I want to now have no identification with Halloween at all. What I did for my kids are all grown, and I have 13 grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren, but what I did with my kids is we did something, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. We would take them to a basketball game. We'd take them out to a pizza place for dinner, do something like that, completely unassociated with Halloween. I would go and buy them any type of candy they wanted, not Halloween candy, but any if they wanted, let's just say, those Hershey Kisses, and they could have one or two of those a day, but I don't want anything to do with the Devil's Day, and that's what Halloween is, and trunk-or-treat isn't far enough away separation-wise, Jim.
Okay, well, friends, so thank you for your calls here, and we apologize to others on hold, but we have run out of time here in the broadcast. Pastor David Braun with us, and again, logosresourcepages.org. Look under the resources here. Pastor, thank you for being in here today with us morning.
Thank you for the opportunity, Jim. People, stay away from the occult.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.